Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coins, hell bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Young veteran, new classic.
off. Fuck the whole key, we gon' hinge the whole door off. I'm still AD, never forget it. It's life after death, roll the credits.
I hate to say my feelings won't do you resist.
Credit my mega, take a trip to see Jamaica. Molly spirit with the vapor, back design, that's the nature. As for Southern New America, I hope I run this permanent. And this, I put my pen in, they got my land and my permit with it. Bone on my bone, flesh on my flesh. Witness in me, you can't make me feel less. Let's hold, I'm not impressed. Let's smoke on my iPhone like an empress. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. What they started and we made it. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin. Great state I'm in all states I'm in. I might find a form in my melanin.
Oh, Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
KKK. Our broadcast is airing nationwide and globally, all across the planet Earth. Sending a special shout out to our brothers and sisters in the mother continent of Africa and the many countries that are tuned in tonight. We appreciate you, as we know it is indeed the late night hour, but you're committed and tuned in to this broadcast. Shouts out to our people in the Caribbean islands, in South America, Central America, the UK, Australia, and all over the planet. And last but certainly not least, Black Power salute to all of our brothers and sisters here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK. We thank you for your continued support of the New Black Panther Party. Remind you to go to the website at www.nbpp.org. As N as the new, B as in Black, P as in Panther, P as in Party.org. To give your financial support to the New Black Panther Party in this broadcast by clicking the donate button, but also if you're interested in joining, you go to that same website, www.nbpp.org, to get information about how to join or any follow-up to any of the broadcasts that you heard here on the New Black Panther Party radio. Well, brothers and sisters, as you know, Thursday night is our Pan-African special, where we have our special guest host, Brother Eugene Talbert, representing the New African Network, as well as one of our corporate sponsors of ETC Logistics, coming to you live tonight. Tonight's topic, brothers and sisters, is integrity and morality, a history of dishonesty, lying, and stealing. Very heavy topic. So without further ado, let's get a mic check and bring Brother Eugene on. Black Power, Brother Eugene, mic check.
Yo, Black Power, sister. Thank you, Sister Crystal, for having a brother back on the New Black Panther, New African Network, Thursday night business broadcast. And I am your co-host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black Power, welcome aboard. Well, Brother Eugene, you have the floor. Let's get it.
Thank you, sister. Black Power brothers and sisters, this is January 27th, 2022. And, yeah, we heard some great music with our introductory there with Sampa the Great out of Zambia, South Central Africa. And the sister is very powerful with a song called The Final Form. And that definitely got our juices kicking. Jumbo and Habaragani, in the words of Kiswahili, what's the news? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this evening's New Black Panther, New African Network, Thursday night business broadcast. Again, I am your host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Great state I'm in, and all states I'm in. The New Black Panther Party and the New African Network extends a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations United, over 300,000 strong and growing members, networkers, and affiliates working together worldwide. We are Black businesses, Black activists, Black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together to make a difference in the communities in which we live. In the words of Kiswahili, Tuka Pamoja, we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. Black economics is Black power. As usual, we give a big asante out to our First Lady in General, Dada Crystal Muhammad, and all of the rest of the NBPP Nation Builders, the Nation of Islam. A big asante and a big shout out go out to all of our sponsors, our supporters, our contributors, our business partners, our Black Nation troops and security teams, as well as legal advisors, the NBPP, Black Cross Emergency Medical and Social Workers Team. We also want to give a big shout out to the New African Network Board of Directors, our team members and affiliates. Also, Exquisite Import-Export Trading Company, doing business as ETC Logistics USA, your one-stop shop network for international trade and logistics, trading throughout the Afro-diaspora, the Caribbean, Central South America, and Africa. For more information, if you need to ship to any of these nations, call us at 1-800-216-1750. That's 1-800-216-1750, ETC Logistics USA. So let's jump the night off with the highlights of today's African stock market and exchange report. And first up, we have the Ghana Stock Exchange closing today at 2,773.99. It was down by 0.27%. This reflected a change of negative 7.43 on the index. Year-to-date, the market was down at negative 15.35, reflecting at 0.55% on the index. However, the market closed out today at $63.85 billion, and that was the end of the day on the GHS. Next up, we have the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, closing today at 73,504.04. It was down by 0.4%. This reflected a negative at 293.29 on the index. Year to date, the market was negative at 205.35, reflecting a 0.28% change on the index. The market capped out at 19.68 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Security Exchange. Closed the day at 160.02. It was down by negative 0.2%, reflecting a change of negative 0.32 on the index. Year to date, the market was also negative at negative 6.44, reflecting 33.87% on the index. However, the market capped out today at 2.49 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. Next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange, closing today at 46,009.23. It was down by negative 1.12%. This reflected a negative at 520.76 on the index. However, year to date, the market was up at plus 3,292.79 at 7.71% on the index. The market capped out today at 24.8 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the NGN. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange. The market closed at 12,003.19. It was up by 2.63%. This reflected a positive of 310.54 on the index. Year to date, the market was also up at plus 1,280.83. That reflected 11.84% on the index, and the market capped out at 1.88 trillion. That was the end of the day on the ZWL. And last up, we have the New York Stock Exchange closing today at 16,159.25. It was down by 0.49%. This reflected a change of a negative 80.94 on the index. And at this point, we don't have the end of the day, the year to date, but we're pretty sure the market did very well on the market today. Black Nation Rising, this is day 695. Reporting since the plandemic, Babylonian nations creating and utilization of weapons of mass destruction on the people, mass destruction on the animals and wildlife, mass destruction on the earth and its environment. Tonight's topic, integrity and morality, a history of lying and stealing and killing, and we subjugate on the black community. Hey, can you believe it? This is 2022, living in the year of the deuce. And we speak first on integrity. What is the integrity? It is the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principle, moral and uprightness. They talk about this uprightness in both biblical terms and in the Quran. The state of being whole and undivided, upholding territorial integrity and national and nation sovereignty, the unification and the unification of a condition, the condition of being unified and unimpaired or sound in construction and internal consistency and lack of corruption or solidarity. Solidity, integrity, is the firm and adherence to a code of conduct, especially moral values, in corruptible, unimpairable quality and complete state of being, being complete and undivided attributes of integrity. And these consist of, but not limited to, probity, honesty, contentment, truthfulness, fair play and fair pay, and non-compromise. It also deals with a sound structure. One may ask, how do I conduct myself with integrity? Well, one must refrain from sharing secrets and confidential information with others that have no responsibility in your affairs. Remaining honest with your partners and your partner. Avoid gossiping about people and things. Follow through with your promises and obligations. Return that which has been lost or stolen without exceptions or receiving any kind of reward, or pat on the shoulder. It is what is expected. These are ethical principles in all aspects of life. It should be extended to all areas of both home and work. This means and way of life are equipped to produce a high quality individual or a service or maintain a positive reputation. And some people don't come with this characteristic or traits and has been developed through personal grooming and strengthening of oneself and identity. It is to be gracious and respectful and honest and trustworthy and hardworking and responsible and helpful and at times patience and understanding. It is being able to admit when one has done wrong, being dependable and following through with commitments, having open and honest communications, holding yourself accountable, and owning up to your shortcomings. It is important to exercise integrity regardless of who you are or your career level or your position in life. It is critical in all leadership, in incorporating strong values in your behavior and conducting, which will encompass and encourage others to do so. This goes in connection and conjunction with morality. Morality. Principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong, good and bad, and behaviors. Having a particular system of values and principles of conduct, especially one held by a specific person or society or even a nation. The extent to which an action is right or wrong. Behind all arguments are lies, issues of morality, beliefs about what's right behavior and about what's wrong behavior, the quality of being accord with standards of rights and good conduct. Morality is the standard of a society. It is used to decide what is right or what is wrong. Morality is belief by someone that is wrong to take what doesn't belong to them, even if there's no one around to even know. Meaning, black people have come to learn the ways of the Babylonian nations, ways of life, where we have lost our integrity and our morality. Some of our black people are stone cold out of their damn minds, not caring enough for themselves, let alone having the respect for others and our fellow manship and our fellow womanship to do so. Some of you need to be ashamed of yourselves and need to be repenting. Repenting to what? Repenting to the Almighty. You need to be on your knees praying to the Almighty. And you need to ask forgiveness from your ancestors while you're on those knees. Many of you haven't bowed your knee or bowed your head from nothing in a very long time. You yourself have gone astray. By definition, moral character is the resistance or lack of virtues such as integrity, courage, fortitude, honesty, and loyalty. In other words, this means you are a good person, a good citizen with a sound moral compass of understanding, of direction. What does morality mean in terms of ethics? It refers to what society or what a nation may sanction the right and acceptable. Most people tend to act morally and follow society guidelines. Morality often requires people to sacrifice their own short-term interests for the benefits of the whole. Society and nation building. Can a person be moral but not ethical? Well, someone without moral compass may follow ethical codes to be in the good standing of a society or a nation or other. On the other hand, someone can be violated, can violate the ethics of all the time because their behavior sometimes don't meet the moral right. Beliefs and values determine our attitude and our opinions. Morals are a system of belief, and I repeat that it's taught for deciding between good and bad, as opposed to coming from within the emotion related for deciding between right or wrong. This is where lying, stealing, and killing come into play. Oh, you liar. Liar is one that lies in an ambush. A liar is a person who does not speak the truth. Pathological lying, also known as mesomania and pseudological fantastica, It is the chronic behavior of compulsive and habitual lying, occasional white lie to avoid hurting someone's feelings or getting into trouble. The pathological liar seems to lie for no apparent reason. Lies cause damages. Defamation is a false statement communicated to someone else to damage reputations or a good name. Defamation through the written form is known as libel. And if you speak it, it is called slander. Sociopathical liars, pathological liars, compulsive liars, occasional liars, careless liars, narcissistic liars, habitual liars, pathic liars, and again, to get back down to the little white liars. All of these come from the underlying condition, whereas some are just pure and straight out liars. Let's push the ball further down the field. Y'all like football, right? Person's property without permission or legal right and without intending to return it. It is dishonesty passed off another person's ideas as one's own to take the opportunity to give or share when it is not expected or when people are not watching. To take property of another wrongfully, especially a habitual, and it is regular practice. To come or to go secretly, observatively, gradually, or unexpectedly. Stealing may be the cause of jealousy, low self-esteem, laziness. Sometimes it is pure peer pressure. Social issues like feeling excluded or overlooked, of course, can cause people to steal. People sometimes steal to prove their independence, to act out or against a family member or a friend, or because they do not respect the other, nor do they have respect for themselves. It's known as selfishness and greed and envy. Believing, biting the very one that takes care of you and provides for you, put food on your table and comfort you in your time of stress, hurting the very people who have your best interest, can be a mental disorder, sometimes called kleptomania or kleptomaniac. It is the recurrent ability to resist the urge to steal items that sometimes generally you have no use for or need. It is of very little value to you. It can cause emotional pains to both you yourself and your loved ones. In the Quran and in the Bible, in the book of Exodus 21:16 and in Deuteronomy 24:7, applies to the same Hebrew words to the kidnapping or the stealing of a man, and demands that those who participate in those sinful acts of such manner should be put to death. The Hebrew word translated steal is more complied and can be applied to material possessions with the restitution that may not result into death, but to judicially refer as penalization and not of death. Thou shalt not steal, and which is a form and pure example. Any of you who know the Torah, the gospel, and the biblical text, this is something that Judas of Issachar did to the Most Holy One, who we know as Jesus. He stole from Jesus. He stole from the disciples, in which he was supposed to be a part of. Oh, there's great consequences to stealing. The consequence of stealing, theft, the taking of personal property, the intent to deprive the rightful owner. If you are found guilty of theft as a crime, the convictions could result into many consequences, which includes fines. It can include incarceration. It can include probation, and it can also include a criminal record. How does this relate? And we speak upon the issues of lying and stealing, and sometimes it can be result to killing. As you see, it's an escalation here. And as we talk about integrity and morality, it is all intertwined. We speak about killing your brother, killing your sister, killing your mother and your father. Killing. Kill everything. These are habits in which we have learned from the nations of Babylon, because before our ancestors came here to the nations of Babylon, yeah, they had wars and they had conflicts, but it wasn't straight out chaotic death and destruction like we see to now in today's time. They had integrity and they had morality. Oh, you got a lot to learn, brothers and sisters. We've been way off course for many centuries. And as Almighty is here and enlightening those, you better heed the message in which we speak of today, because tomorrow is also too late. We speak about killing an act of causing death, especially if it's deliberately called murder, taking of one's life, assassination and homicide and manslaughter and elimination and extermination and execution and eradication and the slaying of your brother and sister, causing death of a person or an animal or any living thing, to be exact, to get rid of and destroy completely, especially in large numbers. They're hyperbolical to indicate that someone will be extremely angry or extremely angry may cause killing, the unlawful, premeditated killing of one human being by another. Very difficult or unpleasant conversation . Murder is the unlawful killing of another human being without justification or valid excuse, especially the unlawful killing of another human, which is from malice of an afterthought. This state of mind may depend upon the jurisdiction and to distinguish murder from others, from forms of unlawful homicide, such as manslaughter. Most societies consider murder to be extremely serious, an extremely serious crime, and that a person that is convicted for murder should receive a harsh punishment for the purpose of retribution, deterrence, rehabilitation, and a incapacitation. In most countries, a person is convicted of murder, generally finds himself in long-term imprisonment and sometimes being sentenced to life or even in the Abrahamic religion. Our scholars write that the first murder occurred between Cain and Abel because of jealousy. In the Judea and the Christian Bible, prohibition against murder is one of the Ten Commandments and was given to Moses by our God and Creator. In Islam, according to the Quran, one of the greatest sins is to kill a human being who has committed no fault or wrong. In Islam, you do not take a human life. It is made sacred by our holy Allah. Except with legal rights, Quran 17:33. That is why we ordain for the children of Israel that whoever takes a life, unless as a punishment for murder or mischief in the land, all will be as if they kill all humanity. And whosoever saves life will be as the savior of humanity. I find with these words by Almighty Allah, they are those who do not invoke any other God besides Allah, nor take a human life. This is made sacred by Allah, expected with the legal right, nor fornication, nor commitment of fornication. And whosoever does any of this will face the penalty. Alhamdulillah, I digress the stage. This is Brother Eugene Taufer reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Peace and blessings unto us. One love.
Black Power, you digressing the stage. You can open up a can of worms. You got to bless the stage back, Black Power. So, Brother Eugene, what inspired you to bring up this topic for tonight? And secondly, how does that play into the Pan-African, New African Business Report?
Yeah, for sure, Sister. Well, you know, this comes to my attention after a few weeks of some of the things that have been happening both here in the United States and also throughout the African diaspora and specifically on the continent of Africa. As a part of our unification and getting ourselves reconnected with the mother continent, there are certain things that we must learn about each other and come to a dialogue about bringing up the problem so we can get a solution, resolution, and a solution in place. As a part of our unification and the speaking of brothers and sisters returning to the mother continent, certainly there are things that we do here in the nation of Babylon that they don't even foresee that we would be doing. But it does happen any and everywhere. So the conversation has come up over the past week. Many of our brothers and sisters that are tied into the New Africa Network and also the New Black Panther Organization. We got brothers and sisters from the South African Economic Freedom Fighters. We got brothers and sisters over in Ethiopia right now fighting Babylon, trying to pull our unification process together. So it prompted me to speak along these lines from the conversations that we've had over the past week about how we conduct ourselves in our Black community. Some may say, well, you know, white people, they kill each other, and Spanish people, they do it, and the Chinese people, they do it. We're not talking about them. We're talking about us, African people, Black people. It's very important that we have this dialogue because if you look at the news every day, I'm pretty sure you get tired of seeing brothers and sisters being shot and gunned down by themselves and by the nations of Babylon. We talk about one conducting themselves in a matter of integrity and morality. But we speak about the Black nation itself. If we are on a path or trajectory to move to a more liberated front, then how can we gain unification and loyalty to one another when you have a defamation with integrity and morality? Those are simple things to unify people. If I can't trust my brother to do one thing, and then at the same time he's talking about an enemy over here that's against both of us, how can we conquer the enemy together when we are divided? Integrity and morality. These are some of the things that we have to talk about in our Black community. Our communities have gotten so out of hand, and our young people have gone astray because we have a whole generation of baby boomers and people who are our age have not shown them any kind of way or structure of life. What is morality? So you get crime and killing and stealing. You say, oh, it doesn't affect me. Like I said, in the Quran itself, one person affects another, whether it's indirectly or directly. You know, we come a long way with the teachings and the learnings of our forefathers. And don't get me wrong, they did what they could do for what they had at the time. But it gets back to it again that we are a new breed leader, African generation. White people They don't own us. We are not slaves, and we owe them nothing. But we have to take responsibility in which what goes on in the communities in which we live. You know, if your loved one is off mentally and needs to be treated, but yet you go on and say, oh, nothing's wrong with the boy, ain't nothing wrong with the girl, just leave them alone. Then they end up lying, stealing, and killing. Now your loved one is towed away and hauled off to an institution. Another Babylonian tactic to destroy the black community. Many of our brothers and sisters haven't picked up a Bible or a Quran or read the Torah or anything in years, and some have none at all, even before the pandemic, have gone unchecked, have gone unquestioned. And then when something goes wrong and the white man got to step in and kill your ass, and now it's his fault. Can't keep blaming the white man for everything. Got to take responsibility for ourselves and for our black community. If we want to do better, we got to rise to the level. That's what we call leveling up. We are no slaves. No one owns us. And we are free to govern the direction in which we need to govern as a black nation, as a black nation of people. You say we should be all great and cool with all the rest of the races out here. We should be cool with the white man. We should be cool with the yellow man, the red man, all the rainbow. Now we got the new rainbow. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about as well. But what's in it for us? Our ancestors, for what we do and how we treat one another, they will be ashamed of us, and many of them turn over in their graves right now just looking at some of the stuff that we do. Going in reverse now, in the 50s and the 60s, our black brothers and sisters, they lift their fists up high and they held their heads up high and they say, yeah, I'm black and I'm proud and I'm proud to be black. Man, you can't get a black man to stand up to say he's African or black. You should be ashamed of yourselves. We're coming into a new age now. As many of y'all know, in 2019, we took the stage at the African Union in Washington, D.C. Many of our black brothers and sisters, I myself as the moderator, we had brothers and sisters come on the stage to present some of the things that we have been experiencing in the nations of Babylon. Oh, that was a big conference that day. We had more than 200 people showed up, all the embassy officials, all the African embassy officials. They came to the table to discuss our problems, but also come up with resolutions and solutions to our complicated problems. One of the things that we've discussed, but at that time, the George Floyd situation was pandemonium all around the world. First black man that ever got snuffed out in front of a international stage. Broad racism. Racism at its fullest effect. Nations of Babylon terrorizing like they've always done. But many of y'all black people now, you become the terrorizer yourself, aiding into the conflict of interest where we have organizations like the New African Network and the Black Panthers and many of the black grassroots organizations trying to lift up that which has been torn down and rebuild, but can't get past it because of the stupidity that we have in our own black community. You talk about rising up as a people. I haven't seen no one shown to rise up. I have seen no group, none whatsoever, in our day and time since the Nation of Islam march on Washington, the Million Man March, back in the 90s. Since then, nothing. But you complain a lot. You complain about the conditions. Can't even organize. You talk about reparations. Oh, well, they owe us. Sure they do. It's a whole lot owed. But if organization is unorganized, how do you bring yourself as a unificated front in order to obtain what you're asking for? Two divided across the board. Some in this direction, some going in that direction. The whole purpose of some of what the Berlin Conference consisted of.
Before we go to Berlin, let me back up. Let me jump in.
So you're saying
that no organizations are organizing or rising up or doing the work of uplifting our people? Let's get clarity on what you're trying to say or what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what I'm saying is we have grassroots organizations that have been out here putting out the message. Grassroots organizations that have been, and black organizations that have been putting out the message, but many of our people, they don't heed to that. A lot of our folks, our conditions and our problems is because we are divided. Some hear the message, but many don't. So when we talk about these things that affect our community, whether it's politically or economically, one must realize if we are divided as a people and structure in an organization, there's no way we can move to the next level. So right now the word is that there are many nations over in Africa. They are wanting to get connected with our brothers and sisters here in the United States so that we can begin to work on Africa with one another. But if we can't get ourselves together right here on our own home front, how do you think we're going to get it together over there?
Well, I mean, I'm gonna challenge that thought, because we have to be clear, and let's keep it 100 and keep it real. Africa has many countries in Africa, and in those countries, there are forms and organizations and political parties that are not all the way united. This whole concept that everything is going to be united, kumbaya, I mean, let's keep it real. You have individuals and organizations, business structures that are doing the work and moving forward. To lump, because you have certain individuals or organizations or corporations that are not doing the best, but you have other groups that are absolutely doing principle and integrity and good work. You can't say, oh, because we got groups or individuals that are not, and you can't do business over here in the continent. I call bullshit on that, because you have plenty organizations and plenty individuals and plenty businesses that are doing good work. So if individuals want to to focus and target on those that are doing negative or that are not doing forward and say, oh, we can't do anything and generalize, then that's an excuse. Because you can flip and do the flip across, you can across the board on this whole planet, you know. So the negative energy of those individuals, corporations, entities, political parties, whatever it is that are doing, that are not doing things to a certain standard, does not mean that nothing should be done. You know, how can we do this? Because, you know, that's making an excuse not to do anything. You know, we've been in this movement, and individuals that have been in the movement for decades, generations, carrying the work for decades and generations, it's a continuum. It's not like our people got in this condition overnight, and it's not like our organizations are not under constant attack and infiltration. You know, I'm saying by the enemy from without and the enemy from within. So when people get to saying, oh, we can't do this, look how they, you know, that's making excuses. That's similar to how, like, the petty bourgeois Negro does here in the States. Oh, look at those poor people. You know, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. But what are you doing that is morally corrupt? Are you, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying the petty bourgeois element. They sit there, they see, you know, things that are going on, such as racism and discrimination in the workplace. They turn their nose to it because, oh, I'm getting me. I can't worry about, you know, what's going on over there. As soon as they get a leg up, instead of giving back and coming back into the community and bringing things to the table, they take every opportunity that they can to get far, far away from the community. So folks, you know, so there are many negative things that go on, but there are many positive things that go on. You know what I'm saying? Having a, saying a, you know, a mass gathering is a symbol of black people, forward movement, that, you know, that's, that comes to, you know, those things occur every now and then, you know, in a lifetime. The everyday, day-to-day, continuum work and continuing to do things for the forward movement of our people is happening every day. We network with brothers and sisters on a constant basis who are doing forward moving and you know, and are looking to do things for the right and principled way. Yet, you have people who are half-hearted, half-assed. We're just going to keep it real. We have people who have put years, dedication, consistency, constantly doing forward moving work. And then you have people who are coming in half-hearted, half-assed, and then, you know, try to sabotage the work that people are moving forward because, one, they're not going to put in all the work. Two, when they've been checked on or held to a certain standard and don't do it, they start making excuses, and then they get to start trying to sabotage because they don't want to see individuals or entities move forward or farther than they're doing. And I know this for a fact because this is what we experience here in the New Black Panther Party. We have people that come in doing 10%, but for some reason they feel so entitled that they try to take down the work of people who've been doing 100% of the time. And, you know, and it becomes like a virus. Then you have individuals who keep it solid 100% of the time. We have people who literally go around trying to slinker, hold conversations, try to encourage people to not do the work because of their personal agenda or personal feelings, because they think they can do it better. And it's funny because they go off, they branch off to go try to do the work that they think that they can do better, and they never do it. They never do it. They even will bootleg, take our symbols, our logos, and they don't do it. So we have counter-revolutionary elements, and we have revolutionary elements in individuals. And guess what? The revolutionaries, they consistently keep forward despite all obstacles. And those counter-revolutionary, dishonest, no integrity. And this is how you can tell a person between the ones that have integrity and don't have integrity. Okay. An issue comes up. The person with integrity will bring everything to the table. The person that doesn't have integrity, they slink. They want to hide and hide, have little slinky conversations to the side and not come to the table. A person that's, even if you've done wrong or done right, if you have integrity, you'll be able to come and say, okay, I did X, Y, Z, did X, Y, Z. Some people sit around, they want to ride on your energy. They want to ride on your energy. They're not going to put in all the work. In fact, they're not going to put in the work. They want to be seen of men. They want to be seen. They want to be heard, but not going to put in all the work. Well, but when they want something, or they hurry up and run to the table. We got individuals we've had within the ranks who are so full of envy in their hearts, so full of envy in their heart, they will literally sit, watch, wait, look for a weakness or what they perceive to be a weakness and try to jump on it. You know what I'm saying? And being a part of an organization that is constantly being in a situation like that, we learn to recognize it. Then on the flip side, you have individuals who have absolute integrity and understanding and overstanding. Those individuals step to the plate when it's good weather and it's not good weather, when it's rough roads and when it's smooth roads. You know, it's incredible. You have individuals, you have things going on right within your mix. It's funny. They see people doing work. They see people going above and beyond, spending all their resources, bringing everything to the table, doing all it takes, you know, going through the ups, the downs, weathering the storm. And then when everything is good, oh, that's when they want to step in. When everything's going good, they want to step in. We call those fair weather soldiers. And as soon as things get rocky, well, you know, either they bail out or they take the opportunity when they see those who are doing the work and have been doing the work. When they see those who have been doing the work and doing the work and have weathered the storm, as soon as they see them going to start trying to fix when things get rocky, they slink their little behinds in. Oh, look, see, you know, the reason why it's a crack in the dam is because, you know, those people that were doing it, they didn't see the crack coming. I saw the crack coming. That takes place. But it never works for those individuals. And we're talking about those with integrity and honesty. We have individuals who come to the table who are sincere, who have a clear, pure intention and put it on the table throughout the fact of what obstacles come. And these individuals, they rise to the occasion. You even have to ask them to. They do it. And these bonds go on and on. There's no city that we can go into or country or state that we can go into and we don't see this thing happening. Where we have the core organizers and the core sustainers who are upholding and moving forward and they network, you know, we make things happen, there's no problem. And then in every city, in every state, even in most organizations, we have these same issues going on. That's the way to think that you're going to be inside of a war zone and not have elements and because we're talking about human beings, we're talking about people, to think that you're going to be inside of a war zone and not have elements of those who have bad intentions or dishonesty, that's one thing. You know, you can't be naive. That's going to happen. When it happens, you have to check it. But you don't not move forward as an entity, not move forward as a nation, not move forward as a people because there are bad elements. The good outweighs the bad, guaranteed. There has not been a business person or a business entity that doesn't go through that, that I know of, because you constantly have to look out for those individuals who are going to be excelling, who are going to be making things happen, who are going to be productive, and they progress, they make money or get positions or go handle larger projects because they have the integrity and the honesty to do those things. But when you have those who don't, you got to call them out and get rid of them and deal with it, or is your organization or your business going to fall? If you got somebody constantly sticking their head in the cash register, you got to let them go, even if they do it once, because if they're a thief, they're a thief. Now, you could have an employee that might have a stank attitude or a business associate or a comrade. That's one thing. But individuals who literally go around and try to sabotage your business or your organization, they have to go. And then when you let them go, you have individuals who you have within your ranks or in your business or your organization. When they get let go because they did something against the policy, they don't stop there. They go around and try to, what do you call it, commit sabotage. They want to take it down with them. Well, that's when you have slanderers, defamation, and even individuals who go so far as to become informants and work with the government and work with the state. You see them kissing butt with the Europeans, hugged up with the Europeans after they were just pro-black a second ago, having little secret little meetings. And even if it's not directly with the Europeans, with the agents that were sent to represent the Europeans, this is what we have going on. Individuals who wouldn't put in one damn dime, they might have put in $5 out of 5 years, and other individuals can put in thousands of dollars, and they $5 they didn't put in, they want to know, what y'all do with that $5,000? Negro, please. So the notion that individuals would say, you know, because you got negative elements, there's nothing going to be moved done forward. I do agree, anything that's negative or dishonest and without integrity, without honor, doesn't need to move forward in anything. That's common sense. If somebody is a thief, then why would you allow a thief to be amongst you? Period. But if someone lacks integrity or is dishonest, why would you allow someone who lacks integrity or dishonest to be around you? It's not going to gel well in any environment. It could be in your home. It could be in your business. It could be in your organization. Now, what happens in the movement, and I've seen it time and time again, this is why organizations have rules that when individuals or businesses do the same thing, if an individual has been removed or asked to leave or fired because they violated or done something without integrity or stolen, which still goes to morality and integrity, if individuals have done that, you are to keep those individuals away from your establishment, your organization, because they will come back and try to find ways to do it even more or taint other individuals or to do the same thing. You know, you have people who bootleg. Let's give a prime example of bootlegging. All right? You could easily go and create your own entity, right, or your own product. If you are so talented or have the skills to do whatever, to create whatever product this is. But instead of doing that, individuals will take something or entity or product or it could even be music. Take the original thing because they know that that's what the people want. That's what's, you know, what's going down right now. They will try to bootleg that same thing. And, you know, and what happens when somebody bootlegs it? You put the something bootleg next to something real and you offer it to it at a watered down price or a watered down cost or whatever the effect is. You know what I'm saying? It's not the original price. You know what I'm saying? It's not the original product. It's bootleg. It looks like, but it's not. Okay, then what happens? You get to wearing it. You get to repping it. And it starts tearing. The strings start coming loose. It's not the same thing. It's less of a quality. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't based on original craftsmanship. It wasn't based on original structure or policy. You know, so that causes, you know, that's why that becomes, even in the business realm, that becomes something that could even be subject to, it's civil, but it becomes subject to criminal because it's stealing. You're taking someone else's concept, someone else's work, and try to pass it off as your own. Now, on the flip side, you have individuals who have integrity, who are honest, who have high moral values, and they do what it takes, knowing there's going to be obstacles, knowing there's rules, knowing there's a certain way of doing things, and they excel. They excel. They excel. That's just the way it is. It's no shortcuts. If your word should be your word, should be your word. Don't tell someone you're going to do something and don't do it. Don't take charge of something and you give instructions on how to do it and you say, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And then when consequences come, you don't take responsibility for your consequences. When consequences come, you don't sit there and come into a structure, be it business, be it organization, be it a nation, be it someone's own, and they have modes of operation, their standards, their goals. We've had individuals that have not went on one battlefield with us, Brother Eugene, not one. But because they think they can talk good, they think they can sit in the same status as people who've been doing it, who put in blood, sweat, and tears, who put money in. We have individuals who will show up to the battlefield, won't put no their life on the line, like those who put their life on the line, all they do is sit in the sideline and take fucking pictures or go and share the work that you've done as if it's theirs. And you have, those individuals are not in the same status and the same moral lane or integral lane or honorary lane as individuals who put in the work. Do the work and gonna do the work. It's not equal. But no, we're not gonna say, oh shit, We've had haters. We've had dishonest people. So there's no sense in moving forward. No. You have to separate. And this is period. This we talking business, and we talking organizations. You can be talking about a relationship. You can talk about nation building. You can talk about warfare. If you have not been engaged in warfare, and all you've done is done intellectual conversation, do not come to the battlefield and think you're going to be on the same plane as those who have been on the battlefield and going to be on the battlefield. If you have not went through and engaged in counterintelligence, do not think you're going to be on the same playing field as those who have not only went through counterintelligence, but have overcome counterintelligence with intelligence, with integrity, period. It's not apples and oranges. It's not no damn make-believe TV. This is real. Real on the battlefield. The battlefield is the black nation. It's so many bootleg bourgeois Negroes that sell us out left and right. And the cracker will pop them up in a heartbeat. If you're willing to work with the white man and you're willing to compromise, oh, they'll bring you fast forward. Look at this Negro. But the individuals who hold the line, who won't compromise, they'll be ostracized by the quote-unquote cracker society. But what does it matter what the cracker society say? When in actuality, we have our own nation. We have too many people who are on the same page, on the same frequency. It's funny. We have individuals right now as we speak. Right now as we speak. It's funny that you're bringing this up. We have individuals right now as you speak who's tried to sabotage the organization, who went around trying to start rumors and gossip and hearsay. It's funny that they own the line. It's funny. It's not really funny, but it's interesting. It's quite interesting. We've had individuals. Yeah, it's slander. And it's cowardly. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting. But I tell you what, the tried and true stick through. Bro, we peep game. This is not our first rodeo. This is not our first rodeo. And it's not going to be the last. It's too many people who put in work. Put in real work. And we're not going to stop moving forward because we got individuals who knows where their mind's at. It's not going to stop the forward progress. Now, in this black nation, do we have issues that must be addressed? Yes. Let's talk about, you know, the poverty that goes on in our communities. The lack of enterprises from our own that we present to our children, to our people. Well, we're providing jobs and businesses for our people. There are black organizations and black businesses that are doing phenomenal jobs that need to be highlighted. There are black organizations and entities that are doing great work with little resources that need to be highlighted. There are individuals who are so talented that are bringing things to the table that have high moral codes, and integrity that we constantly promote and push and need support. Now, those bad elements, those who are selling dope, being predators, out here trying to exploit and pimp our people, those individuals need to be called out, of course, and checked, be it they white or black. Be it if they white or black, they need to be called out and checked, period. And we are that organization that does that. We're at war. We're not going to go check our enemy talking like it's a damn nursery school when you at war. And we're not going to go into a situation where it requires diplomacy, negotiation, to present a presentation, acting like we on the street or at war. You have to have balance. If you're in a situation where you're needing to do a presentation or present or conduct business, then you do so in that manner. But when you're on the battlefield, you operate as those on the battlefield with structure, with command, with discipline. And I'm going to tell you, many individuals and organizations have tried to bootleg this formation, and they don't do it. They go out there, they're sloppy looking, trying to do things to be seen, as opposed to moving forward, engaging in an actual enemy combatant situation. This is where you will see the difference. This is where you will see the difference. Let me see. Bro, this is funny. And it kind of got me, you know, that's why I brought it up, like, why would people say, oh, we shouldn't do business with, you know, and I don't know if I misread, with people in America, I mean, and on the continent, because certain individuals, you know, come on, are we really talking about that? Because I know for a fact, and we all know, that there's neocolonialism going on the continent and here in America. We know for a fact that there are those who whole job is to keep us separated. And to think the mass movement has to be all the way on point before we're going to be doing interaction, you know, that's something I want to ask, you know, is this what's being said? You know, the black people, you know, they don't got it together there, so how they going to come here in Africa? Is that something that's being said, Eugene?
No, sister, that's not what I was meaning to earlier in the conversation. I'm just saying that, we do. We have brothers and sisters and organizations that have been putting in that work and certainly are ready to make that move. But just like you said, too, there's going to come a time when we're going to have to separate from those who are not ready and not have taken responsibility for themselves or the respect of others and have to depart. That was a whole part of what went on in the biblical terms, the Exodus. And I know many of that sometimes strike a person very hard because many people say, well, I know my XYZ, they haven't been all that great, but they don't deserve to be left behind. But our Most Holy One has given us the message. Sometimes, yeah, you're going to have to separate from that because you yourself, they bring hardship and pain, although you love them. But in biblical terms, it's going to come a time we're going to have to separate from them brothers and sisters that are not ready. I know it's hard to hear sometimes. A lot of folks, that doesn't mean that when we go on to move on to a higher plane that we're going to forget about them. but it's a process of being able to elevate ourselves on a much higher level in order to gain that certain type of freedom that our black brothers and sisters are looking for. I just want to make myself clear there in that area.
Yeah, I mean, I would think so, because, you know, it's almost like, you know, and because, I mean, it kind of goes without saying, I would think, but sometimes I guess things need to be said, you know. I guess things do need to be said, because a lot of things we take for granted that people get, and a lot of people don't get it, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things we take for granted that, especially, you know, we have to understand that people are on different conscious levels. We have to say that too, you know. But regardless of what conscious level you on, these things that you're speaking with are basic core principles, you know, of human existence. If individuals lack integrity or amoral or killing or stealing, why would they be brought to this table, you know? As a matter of fact, that's the whole concept of exile, of punitive, you know. Even on our ancestors had the principles of Maya. These are principles. Mm-hmm. Principles. And we should be operating with principles. But we also have to know and understand that there are two saboteurs. And there are also individuals, you know, when I was active in the nation, I bring this up. They used to say, can you be an agent and not know it? And I thought that was always an interesting thing. Can you be an agent and not know it? And I was like, what does that mean? You know, we would have the discussion during a study group.
Mm-hmm.
And a person can be an agent. One example of a person being an agent, I mean an agent for, and being very specific, an agent for the government working to sabotage an organization. And you can be an example of someone being an agent and not know it is individuals not on the payroll. They're not on the payroll. They just have character flaws within them. They might be a very insecure individual or a very opportunistic individual.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily on the payroll, but they have an opportunistic personality. So someone who is an actual paid informant or actual agent will recognize that this person has an opportunistic personality, and they will exploit that and get them to do things that will affect the organization. And they're not literally even getting paid to do it. But because they have this flaw within them, an actual informant or an actual agent will exploit that and get them to do things to hurt the organization or the operation. And it happens all the time. You know, we have individuals, and then sometimes you can be an agent, I know it. You're not even getting paid to do it. But because you have this insecurity within you, you are envious when you see other people doing things, and you start doing things to sabotage or to hurt the organization and not be even an informant to do it. It's just your character flaw that makes this happen. And this mm-hmm. happens in the movement. It happens in business. People even do it in relationships. Nobody's paying you to talk down and try to destroy someone's spirit, but because you're so morally bankrupt that you do it because you feel low. Will you say something, Eugene?
No, sister, you're right on point with that, and I certainly heed to that information that you're relaying to the public here. And for certain, this type of dialogue is very important for us to have collectively as a unit and a nation of black people. And so, anybody on the lines that we can open up to at this point?
Press one, press one, press one. yeah, let's just keep the conversation going. Let's keep the conversation going here. Oh, man, heavy topic. Very heavy topic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
yeah,
like I said earlier this week, we had many of the brothers and sisters on the New African Network was having dialogue around this topic, and that's because there are so many things that are happening across the African diaspora that some stuff we can control ourselves, and looking for some answers and solutions to come up with, you know, things socially that we can do together to solve our problems. Yeah, so this past week, we had, it was the celebration of Epiphany in Ethiopia, and many of our brothers and sisters here from the United States and abroad traveled over to Ethiopia as a part of this celebration, also just celebrating Ethiopian Christmas. You know, the Ethiopian calendar, it has a different date and time for certain events that take place. And so we give a big up to our brothers and sisters over there. This past week, we had Brother Jerome Matias, who traveled over to Ethiopia to get connected up with Brother Imani Jean-Paul there in Addis Ababa. And he, along with, I believe, 20 other of the top YouTube networkers were connected up over there and kind of got together during the course of the holiday to discourse, to actually discuss some of the things that we have on our agenda coming up for this year, 2022. And so we have some very extraordinary things that are taking place with the New Africa Network getting connected. I like to say that we are not our parents' generation, nor are we our grandparents' generation. We are a new breed leader, African generation, black men and black women with enough respect. We need all our G's on deck. We call for 1 million Africans for Liberation Day and conference coming up. And I have just received some word from Dr. Erykana Turumbera-Kwa, former ambassador of the African Union, last week that we're going to be getting together to discuss the next upcoming Afro-Diaspora Political and Economic Think Tank Conference. And so far, we believe that the conference is going to be taking place here in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Harvey B. Gantt Center. And we look forward to be able to bring more information about this conference. So those brothers and sisters who are out there who are interested in attending the Afro-Diaspora Political and Economic Think Tank Conference will be relaying information through the New Black Panther, New Africa Network Thursday night business broadcast, where you can come in and tune in with each with us each and every week. We'll also be sending out media information on how to get connected. There will also be an exposition, business exposition. So those of you who have businesses that you would like to come out and be a part of the exposition, being able to market and trade your good service or product, it'd be a fine time to do so. More than 50 African countries, nations, and their commercial attachés, along with the ambassadors, and we're hoping to also get a few African presidents who may pop in to be a part of this organization coming up in September. So right now, tentatively, we have the date to be September 10th, which will be held at the Harvey B. Gantt Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. Come on out and be a part of the whole network. You can join the New Black Panthers organization, the New Black Panthers Party. You can get engaged with the African Liberation Army. We also have MFAC. We have Team Huey Newton, We have the South African Freedom Fighters. We have the African Diaspora Development Institute. We have Africans United Business Organization, the New African Network. Get yourself connected and also become a member. Volunteering is free. We open up our institutions to help elevate our brothers and sisters for reaching higher ground. So, yeah, Black Power, sister, this has certainly been some dynamic discussion this evening. And I know we're getting pretty close to the end of tonight's broadcast. We also want to give a shout-out to Brother Abia Gezerholt with the African Intelligence Security Agency, Information and Insight, providing tactical and strategical advantage for the Pan-African community, Pan-Africanism. African Intelligence Security Agent objectives are collecting intelligence that matters, that produce objectives and a source of analysis, conducting effective covert actions and directing by the principles of integrity and morality.
Yes, sir, Black Power. What we'll do to take tonight's show out, we're going to play a clip from Ambassador Eric Conner entitled A Call for Africans to Unite. A Call for Africans to Unite. We want to thank our brother Eugene Talford of the New African Network and ETC Logistics for hosting tonight's program. Very, very important discussion tonight. We will be back on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we are going to play an updated message from the Your Immunity Project, and we have some new things coming up the line on February the 25th. The New Black Panther Party, along with NCOBRA, the National Coalition of Blacks for Reparations in America, will be hosting a reparations teaching webinar, a virtual conference, I should say, and we're going to have representatives and presenters from across the diaspora to address this issue of reparations as we are heading to a very major call to action that we'll be announcing in regards to the reparations front in the next few months. So we want to give a shout out to the New African Network and all of those who support the New Black Panther Party. Oh, excuse me. Make sure you go to www.nbpp.org. Any final thoughts, Brother Eugene?
No, sister. Definitely look forward to tuning in next week. Same black time, same black channel. Black power and one love.
Black power, one love.
We need to have a single African army. We need a single African currency. We need a single African monetary policy. We need our own financial institutions at a continental level, like the African Stock Exchange. All those things need to be addressed. And until we can achieve some of that integration at that level, it's a difficult conversation. Keep in mind, it took us from 1963 to 2018 for us to have the heads of states come up with the decision, which is now the African Continental Free Trade Area, where they have agreed that Africa needs to enter the world market as one customs union. It took us 56 years to get this decision. So you can imagine going back again and trying to start with yet another one. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but I'm hoping that we can all wake up enough and realize that we're still suffering from the legacy of slavery and the legacy of colonization. Because if the truth be told, there are representatives of various governments who are participating in these conversations, and they need to stand up. They need to push back and just tell these colonizers the truth. They are abusing us. They are speaking our faces. They are beating us up. They are burning us, and we're supposed to be nice. And how long do they need to continue to beat us up before we all come together and say enough is enough? I'm hoping that we are getting to where the average black person is simply sick and tired of being sick and tired. We can't continue to take this abuse. And they, the colonizers, they know it. They know that they're abusing. That's the sad part. They know they're abusing us, and we need to tell them to stop. That's just all there is to it. They need to stop abusing Africa. They need to stop exploiting Africa. Right. So actually the point I was trying to make by saying the colonizers are still in Africa, they haven't left. So for over 60 years, we got our independence, different countries. Our only option were the former colonizers, were the West. So it was refreshing to see China coming in and giving us an option. It's actually refreshing to see other countries coming in and giving us an option. So we don't have to be stuck with the former colonizers as the only option. So yes, China was welcome. Problem is the manner in which China came by insisting on bringing their own employees. But even then, I will say I can let it go because we need to own that responsibility. We should have negotiated better. We should have told China, if you bring in 50 people, then the other 50, if job needs 100 people, 50 should be yours, the other 50 are local, and you've got to train the local people. We failed to do better negotiations. But I can tell you, since the last meeting the heads of states had with the president of China in 2018, a lot of that has changed. A lot of bad contracts that China had been involved with various countries, have been cancelled. So the heads of state are realizing that, and they are addressing that issue. So I think as far as trading with China, that situation is being addressed and things are getting better. The problem is now with the individual citizens. They're the ones who are just downright racist. Even on the continent, they are abusing the Africans on our own continent. And then, of course, what's happening in China itself, they just have no respect for black people. They are racist to the core, some of them. Not all of them, don't get me wrong. None of them are good people. But we have a significant percentage that are just racist. So if they don't like Africans, then maybe they just need to get out of Africa as well. It's really that simple. I know I heard of Bobby Wine planning on airlifting Africans out of China. Well, my position is if African leaders have to airlift their people out of China, then President Xi Jinping needs to start looking at airlifting his own people out of Africa. But what I do know is we're not taking in abuse anymore from anybody, period. Well, again, that's actually an excuse because they are doing it even on the continent. The underlying factor is that they are racist to the core. There's no way China is the one that started with COVID-19. It's ludicrous to want to blame it on the African. It's just a lame excuse. We are not going to accept that. They are racist people. They should not have been doing what they're doing. Their treatment of Africa is unacceptable, and we will not tolerate it. That's just an excuse. They know COVID-19 started in China, and to want to blame it on the Africans, that is ludicrous. Insanity of the highest order. We will not accept that. President Xi Jinping needs to fix this. This is a very serious matter. They need to understand that we also have our own Africa, and we have our own laws. And so this cannot continue. We only have about 700,000 Africans in China, and there are over 10 million Chinese in Africa. I'm not even sure how they think they can do this and get away with it. Well, they're not going to get away with it this time because we, the citizens, are not going to sit back and watch this nonsense go on. They need to stop. To accuse the Africans of bringing COVID-19 to China, that is just unbelievable. They are racist. Those who are doing it, who are perpetrating these abuses to the Africans, they are racist, plain and simple. Let's call them what they are. We are very divided as a people, as black people in general. But more importantly, at this time, with the African Continental Free Trade Area, it is a time that is calling for all of us to unite and begin to look at being on the driver's seat when it comes to the Continental Development Agenda. People must understand the African Continental Free Trade Area is a monumental achievement from the African heads of states, and yet you don't hear too much about it. If we do not unite as children of Africa to really participate in the Continental Development Agenda, then we have no one to blame but ourselves. Mm-hmm. The reality is development of Africa is now moving to the continental level. Mm-hmm. We're now talking about growing wheat to feed 1.27 billion people. We are now talking about water access to 1.27 billion people, access to power, to the continent, not to one country. So the conversation is about infrastructure development at a continental level. Okay. Now, here's what I was able to at least share with the African diaspora to say, you don't go to China and find black people driving the Chinese development agenda. You don't go to Mexico. You don't go to Europe and find black people driving the agendas for those nations. You therefore must not go to Africa and find non-Africans driving the African continental agenda. Unless if we, the children of Africa, choose to vacate that place that belongs to us. The heads of states have completed the unfinished business that was started by the Pan-African Fathers in 1963 when they created Organization of African Unity, which was a compromise agreement. Because the Casablanca Group, who were Ghana, Guinea, Mali, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria, and Tunisia, they were saying Africa for the Africans, African Union now. Mm-hmm. They wanted the boundaries to disappear.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they were not the majority. So they lost. They came up with this compromise. So from 1963 up until 2018, the heads of states had not been able to reach a consensus on this issue,
wow,
which is so crucial if
wow
Africa is to move forward. So it is so important that every person of African descent, people on the continent, understand that if we do not come together and come up with the continent, if we don't come up with the continental development agenda, Chinese are ready. They have their own agenda of how they're going to come to Africa, looking at having 300 million Chinese in Africa by 2030. How crazy is that?
Wow.
The Europeans are ready. They have their own agenda for Africa. The people who should have an agenda for Africa is us, the African diaspora, and our brothers and sisters on the... We have to realize that this is a do-or-die moment.
Yeah.
So if you can say there was something I was able to accomplish was to take that message to the diaspora, to say, my brothers and sisters, we must wake up. But also, secondly, to also share with my brothers and sisters that our problems, yes, we have issues of corruption in Africa, but the biggest corruption in Africa today is coming from outside. I often say, if everybody in Africa was to stop from being corrupt, there would still be corruption in Africa today. And what I was able to really clarify to them is to say, the corruption watchdogs, they tell us 50 billion is getting out of Africa every year from corruption. I get that, and we must go after it. But at the same time, there is 500 billion getting out of Africa from one little country called France. There is so much outrage from the diaspora over the 50 billion, but not a word over the 500 billion going to a small country. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So I wanted the diaspora to understand that don't find yourself being told to fight with your brothers and sisters over which one of you got the larger chunk of the crumb under the table.
Mm.
So you'll never talk about the real meal on the table.
Mm.
Our colonizers are on the table in our house eating our food. We would have cooked the food. And then after we serve them, we go under the table and wait for them to drop off a few crumbs. And those are the crumbs that we are fighting about. So I wanted everybody to understand that, yes, we have issues with corruption, but let's put things in perspective. Because taking care of problem number 6 on a scale of 1 to 10, if you don't address problem number 1 to 5, it doesn't matter what you do with number 6.
Mm,
because the
yeah
foundation of the problem is still there.
Yeah.
The root cause of the problems is still there. And our colonizers are still a big problem, for they never left Africa. They gave us political independence, but they took the, they kept the economic independence. I can give you an example right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company in Zambia called, oh, it starts with a G. Can't remember the name.
Okay.
They just laid off 11,000 people.
Wow.
Why? Because they have not been paying taxes. They're sending all their money through these tax havens. All of these large companies are doing that. So when the government has been trying for years, I think it's... So now they're mad at the government, and they're packing up, and they're leaving. This is what a lot of heads of state are dealing with. These major corporations are not paying taxes. They're sending all their money to these tax havens. This is causing them to take billions out of Africa. Nobody talks about it. So if there's any other accomplishment, was to let the diaspora understand what is really going on in our Africa. We are being robbed in plain daylight.
Right.
And yet they throw us a shiny object and they want us to run after the shiny object while the real issues are in the opposite direction. So to the diaspora, I say, my brothers and sisters, wake up and smell the coffee. Understand what is really going on in your Africa. I would like to think that maybe that may be what I have been able to make some inroads. We still have a long way to go, but that's conversations that have started, the conversations that are badly needed. Because once we know our history, the rest is easy. Quite often, as diaspora, we are not doing the right thing because we don't know. So we need to understand our issues from the root and not from the superficial point of view that they want us to understand them.
Yeah, but even in the AU, we don't hear anybody who was as vocal as you were, you know, really saying how things are, you know, just how it is. You're just saying things how it is.
Well, I can't speak for others. What I do know is I was asked by Madam Zuma to go to Washington to represent 1.27 billion people, and I was determined I was going to do that. I didn't come to Washington to drink tea and coffee. I didn't come to Washington to make friends. I came to Washington to represent 1.27 billion people. If either I represented the 1.27 billion people or I had no business being there, I could not sit and watch what I saw happening and not speak up to it. I can easily go back to becoming a doctor. I need not have stayed in Washington if I'm only going to be a mute. That's not me. And I came here to work. I rolled up my sleeves. And I went to work. Well, I have to say, when you look at the situation with Africa, prior to the Chinese, we had the West. We did have the colonizers and all the atrocities they've been committing, starting with the big one, which is the Pact for the Continuation of Colonization, where, for those who are not aware, the French are taking over $500 billion out of Africa every year. In addition, the French are printing the money for those 14 African countries. They have to deposit now, they're down to about 50 to 60% of their bank reserves. Should they need some of that money, they have to request it as a loan at commercial interest rates. The French people also have to make sure that all their military equipment can only be ordered from France. Their military can only be trained by France. And the French have military presence in their countries, and that France can invade them without notice if they feel French interests are being violated. They also said all the contracts, private and public, French companies have the first right of refusal. And whatever the French companies do not want, that's what the local black-owned companies can have. So when you take all that into consideration, there's not much left for the countries, which is why even today, the average black person in some of those countries is struggling to get contracts because most of the contracts are going to the French. So that alone is huge, and it continues to this day. Then you take the remainder of the other countries. If you were a British colony, if you were colonized by the Belgians, the Germans, the Portuguese, all those companies that go back to colonization, they remain the major employers, like what Glencore is doing, just trying to close up and leave 11,000 people unemployed. All those major employers in most of the African countries, they're owned by companies that go back to colonization. Mm-hmm. They're owned by companies whose bases are in the former colonizers. So we don't have our economic, we don't have control of our economic status in all those African countries. It makes it very difficult for a leader to try and push back against those companies because the retaliation is devastating. Mm-hmm. So we have to look at some of those basics to say we still don't own our economy. We don't control the African economy. And that remains a serious challenge. And that was done intentionally by the colonizers through the Berlin Conference. This is why I keep going back to the Berlin Conference. Because that is when they set out the strategy to divide us in such a way that we'll always be chasing our little tails as little countries. What's needed is for Africa to come together and speak with one voice. Well, again, you have to realize that you enslaved the West. Let's talk about the main colonizers. We got France, we got Britain, we got Germany, we got Portugal, and some Italian. But at the end of the day, we were divided up into these tiny little countries. Each country has to wage its own battle against the colonizers. So even though the enemy is a common enemy, which is France, Cote d'Ivoire has to fight as Cote d'Ivoire. DRC has to fight as DRC. Mm. Senegal has to fight as Senegal. If they were all to come together and speak one voice, they become a bigger voice that can then take a position and say enough is enough. Which is why I go back and say the African Continental Free Trade Area is really the answer to Africa's problems when we can speak with one voice. You know, we really need to realize that if we have to come together, we got to pull our resources together because we have the financial resources. If you look at the fact that we are putting into Africa with remittances, that's continental Africans alone, over $60 billion every year. That's a lot of money. So you can imagine if we take a million diaspora, there are about 9 to 10 million continental Africans. There are about another 40 million African Americans. If you take the United States alone, it's about 50 million black people. If everybody came up, not everybody, let's just say we take a million people with $1,000, that's $1 billion. That's how easy we can build up wealth with everybody just coming up with whatever small amount they have, and we keep doing it year in and year out. That's how the Jews do it. They pull their money together. But we don't believe in each other, don't trust each other. We become very selfish. It's all about where I come from, my village, my tribe. Not even at a national level are we united. So that remains the biggest problem among us black people. The divisions among us are killing us. We're living here in the United States, in our case, where we are surrounded by other races who are very united when it comes to issues pertaining to their race. The Chinese are very united. The Indians are very united. The Mexicans, the Irish, the German Americans, Italian Americans. But when you look at black people, we are so proud to be the only black people, the black family living in a white neighborhood. It's like something to be proud of. The other races are so happy to be living alone. You know, we're having Indian communities in this country where they're building their own schools. They're happy to be living in an Indian neighborhood. And yet we black people, we want to image ourselves living in a white neighborhood. And we're out of that. It's really pitiful. But we got to realize that the time for unity is now. If we don't do it for ourselves, we must do it for our children, because we owe it to them to live in a world where they are not disrespected simply where they are disrespected simply because of the color of their skin. If that, it's just something that is completely mind-boggling. Even though I understand where it's coming from, it's that same legacy of slavery and colonization. The rule of divide and conquer is alive and well among us. The shackles of the mind remain very tight within us. We must first of all understand that we are suffering from this ailment, because it is you with your shackled mind who goes to the boardroom with a shackled mind, garbage in, garbage out. Unless you go to a boardroom with the right mind, with a mind that is awoken, your decisions are going to be against your own race. Sadly, that is our reality. And I tend to dump this on men because they're the majority of who hold leadership roles when it comes to our Africa, for example. And of course, even here in the diaspora. So those who are in leadership roles, those of you who find yourself in the boardroom making decisions, representing Africa, ask yourself, am I colonized? Am I suffering from the legacy of slavery? Each and every one of us needs to have a serious conversation with the image in the mirror. That is our biggest problem at this point. If you were to ask people right now to give you $10, I can assure you 6 months from now, they're going to hackle you down over what you have done with my $10. But you can't say you blame them too, because in some cases, people have made contributions and they have lost their money. So both sides, those who want to exploit others, we all need to realize that that time is over. It's about our unity. It's about our survival. It's about us uniting to demand our... If we don't respect ourselves, we expect the rest of the world to respect us. We must come together, 8 million people with $1,000, that's $1 billion. Now make it 2 million people. Now make it 5 million people. Mm-hmm. There are over 400. There are over 400 African diaspora around the globe. Give me 5 million with $1,000. And then we do it year in and year out. That's why I registered the entity called African Diaspora Development Institute. This institute is where we are all going to come together. I'm looking forward to have people like you open up an ADDI branch in the UK. We can continue. We hope to build Africa houses, starting with 5 of them, 2 in Europe, maybe 3 or 4 in the United States, 1 in China, and 1 in Australia, where we will have conversations about us, where we're going to begin to let everybody know we must get together. We must unite. That is the only way we can get our respect back. So I look forward to hearing all of you. I'm urging all of you to go on to our ADDI, that's OURADDI.org, OURADDI.org, and register. We want to know who you are. We want to know what you do so we can continue to communicate. The plan for ADDI is to open offices in every country.
Okay.
Can begin to let the heads of states know that no more excuses, no more giving contracts to the Chinese first, no more giving contracts to the Europeans first, that the children of Africa, with the expertise, with the capacity that is needed, with the funding that is needed, are ready to come home, and that we want to take the driver's seat of Africa's development agenda. That is the plan, that all opportunities must, first right of refusal must be given to the African diaspora. So that is the plan for ADDI. As we open offices in each country, we will be engaging the government and letting them know that the children of Africa are coming home, that the children of Africa in the diaspora are answering the call from our African heads of state.
Absolutely.